The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, the first 10 verses. I'm going to read this section out of the translation called The Message. This may be a familiar story to you, so hearing it in sort of fresh eyes from a new translation might connect you with another part of the passage you may have overlooked because of its familiarity. And this are the first 10 verses from chapter 15 of Luke. This is the good news about Jesus. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one lost until you found it? And when found, you could be sure you would put it across your shoulders rejoicing. And when you got home, you would call in your friends and neighbors saying, "Celebrate with me. I have found my lost sheep." Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in need of rescue, in no need of rescue. Please join with me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for an opportunity to be together, to sing, to pray, to recognize one another and the gifts we bring. And we thank you for these moments that we could think about your word and your message to us, and that the word we receive might be shared with others so they might receive a blessing too. In Jesus' name, amen. I know you can hear me all right, yes? You could probably hear me all right without a microphone. So I'm going to ask my grandson, Cy, is up in the sound booth. Y'all wave to Cy? You can't see him. Cy, just turn down the body mic a little bit. The first one. Turn it down a little bit. A little bit up. That's good. Is that better? Good. Hey, are there any kids here today that would like to spend a few minutes with me? Yes. Yes, sir. You're taller than I am, but you're welcome to come up here. Are there any short people here? Ah, we got short people. Okay, fine. That's good. Just want to make sure we're not ignoring them. Tell your friends and family, young people are welcome, and older people, even older than you. We're all welcome here in this place. What are you looking for? When's the last time you looked for something? Didn't have to reach back very far, did you? Give me an example of some things you've looked for. Keys, yes, good one. Yes?
I lost
my fire company ring. Your fire company ring? Oh my gosh, yeah. Can we help you? Look for it? Wow, well that's disturbing. Gosh. Yeah. Yes. And did you find them?
No.
Oh man, that's. Did you find them? Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else lose something and wanted to find it? A wallet? Yeah. Did you find that one, Larry? Okay. Good. So remember the offering today. Yes. Your scissors. That's a strange thing to lose. Where would I be without my scissors? Okay. Something else? Yeah, Larry.
My wife.
You lost your wife. Okay, I'm glad you found her. Anything else you lose? So what do you do when you lose something? Yeah. Now, what if you didn't care about those scissors? Would you bother looking for them? Probably not, right? So if you didn't really care about something, it was lost. Something was lost. You noted, oh my God, something's lost. But if you didn't care about it so much, if you didn't miss it so much, it just isn't a priority, right? So you say scissors. That's a great one. So you say, oh gosh, where are those scissors? Oh well. And you just kind of go about your business, and then maybe a couple days later you need those scissors again. Say, oh man, I still haven't found those scissors. Where could they possibly be? And it's only when they sort of rise up on the radar of your priority list, then you will just sort of drop everything and go look for them. Now, those hearing aids sound important, so please find those. And John's ring sounds pretty important. Scissors, I don't know about that so much, but that's good. We all need scissors. So when things are of value, we drop everything and try to look for them. 9/11 reminds us of a sad event where, as a nation, we're looking for something. We're looking for resolution to an act of violence. We're looking for hope when fear seemed to have been the only kind of possible response, and anger, perhaps, later. And so 9/11 reminds us that, as a nation, we're all looking for something. Presidential elections are coming. Did you hear? Someone told me in the parking lot today. Just something. I had no idea. But so as a nation, and of course there's local elections too, and I mean there's all sorts of elections going on all the time in a democracy like ours, but presidential election. And so our nation is looking for something, right? We're looking for the right kind of leader, right? We're looking for an authentic leader. So someone who can connect with the American people, but have the capacity to take that connection and execute. Remember, the president is the executive branch. They don't come up with the laws, they execute the laws. They get things done. And so we need an authentic, humble, honest kind of a leader, right? So our nation is looking for that. And we'll keep looking for that, of course, until a decision is made, priorities are made, this is election day, and then the choice is made. My wife mentioned this morning that her son Keith has search and rescue dog. And sadly, this morning he was called, and they're looking for a teenager that's lost this morning in Bucks County. High priority. Drop everything. So he and his dog, Nakoma, were sent to join the rescue party looking for this young girl, right? Young teenage girl. So when we find things of value that we misplace, we search for them. Last week, you remember, we were here and we reminded ourselves that the church is not for profit, right? It's not for a profit. It's for something else. It's for others. So if not for profit, it's for people. We talked about the idea of how Old Brick Presbyterian Church over 300 years can somehow transform into New Brick Presbyterian Church for the next 100 years. And how we together can begin thinking. And all of you are important. It's not just a session decision. It's not just our leadership, like with our deacons or those who help with the Sunday school or our staff or take care of our building and grounds here and all of our teams of our congregation. It's everyone, all of us have to get together and sort of discern together where God is leading us into that for thing. What are we for? And so in a way, today's passage gets us sort of just on the journey, like a compass, leading toward true north of something worth looking for. And so we have our story today. I love how Luke, was not a Jewish person by background, right? Remember what he was? He was a doctor, yes. And he was Greek background, right? Hence the name Luke. It's not a Hebrew word as much as it is a Greek one. And so he brings us the story of Jesus sort of from that Jesus is the perfect man. Jesus is the perfect God in human form. But in Luke, we find more references to women and children and families than in any other gospel. And in fact, more than any other place in the Bible, the Spirit is mentioned in his gospel. So the Spirit, family, women, children, community, it's all there. Dr. Luke and his Greek sort of the world is our focus. That worldview is all here in this gospel. And I like how he begins this. He says, by about this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation, we don't know anybody like that, a doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, and they were listening intently. And the Pharisees and all those religion scholars were not pleased at all. But here is why. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends. Now, I know you all well enough already that that would not disturb you, because I think all of you are very thoughtful and hospitable, and that you would just do almost anything to meet the need of someone else. I've known this. I've heard stories. And maybe it's not true totally all the time. But what I've heard, you guys are awesome with that. But think back when Jesus was here walking on the earth. Think about the attitudes and bias and prejudice that were so rampant that he could spend time, as they call them, sinners. Now, the word for sinner here is an interesting word. It's the same word we use when we talk about ethnicity. It's ethnos. And it means the people. But it's not talking about sort of the religious community. It's just talking about people in general, ethnos, ethnicity. It's talking just groups of people. And so Jesus was hanging out with just ordinary people. You say, well, like, what's so surprising about that? Well, that's not what religious people did back then. A lot of times, religious people just wanted to hang around religious people. Why is that? It's not a bad thing. But I think sometimes we hang around people that have the same views we do, the same ideas we have. Again, not a bad thing. But when it's only that, sometimes all of our views get reinforced, and some of our views aren't that great. So if we don't spend time with people, sort of ordinary people, people that are a little outside our comfort zone, perhaps, we never hear sort of a different story, a different point of view, a different way of looking or understanding something. Could be about God, or it could be about the best, you know, mix at the you pick up at the grocery store. Could be anything. But when we don't extend our reach and connect with others, our own views, again, not bad views, but our only small group of views constantly get reinforced without the benefit of being stressed and challenged so that we can embrace newer ideas that can help us understand our most deeply held ideas. So the Pharisees, they were all about rigid rules, rigid requirements, all of that. It weren't bad things. But the fact that they connected with all of those rigid rules kept them from connecting with people they met on the street each day. You see, their rigid rules kept them just talking about rigid things. It was such a complex system of faith that it required all of their time. So if somebody wanted to walk up and say, hey, it's a really nice day today. I wonder, wow, it's really great. Somebody might say, a religious strictly in this passage, like, they'd say, I'm sorry, I don't care about the weather today. I'm only thinking about God. And Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was a person, remember, he was perfect man, perfect God. He showed us that even with interruptions in life, it's okay to be interrupted, to connect, to make a difference in a life. Jesus, remarkably, did not spend time, a whole lot of time in the temple. In fact, right now, for those that are familiar with the story, the bigger story about Jesus, when you think about Jesus in a temple, what do you think of? Yeah, the money changers who were in the temple, supporting the religious establishment, cheating people out of their money, which was really the evilness of it all. But so our association with Jesus in a temple is he overturned all those tables and said, you do this over again. You don't have this right. And Jesus did not spend time with religious people, not because they were bad or not worthy of being spent time with, but because the vast majority of people were being shunned by the religious people, and Jesus was here to welcome them. So this story. See, this is the context, and then it says, this grumbling triggered this story. So thinking about those biases, religious people, again, not bad people, religious, excluding their life, making little small compartments for this and little small compartments for that, excluding the broader community, excluding maybe neighbors and friends because they have to go do more religious, whatever it is. This triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Now, that's more important than a pair of scissors, at least to a shepherd. All right? Actually, a shepherd might need scissors. Just thought about that. So that ties in very well. Thank you, Marge. And so the shepherd loses the sheep. Now, That's only 1%. Is that right? 100? Yes. 1%. He's only down 1%. And yet the shepherd sets aside everything, knowing that the 99 are safe and secure in the pen, leaves them and goes out and searches for something that was lost. See, that shepherd, his job was to take care of 100 sheep in the story, 100 sheep. If he reported back to the owner of the sheep or perhaps the collective that he's in with all the sheep, and he was up one short, wouldn't be good. Those sheep meant the world to him. Now, not only do animals have value in and of themselves, we're talking about a shepherd caring for a sheep. And so he sets aside everything and goes out. And just to show how authentic of a leader the shepherd is, when he finds the sheep and brings them back, he doesn't just say, "Oh, that's nice. Nice to have you back, Henry. Come on in here in the pen. Come on now. Don't you get out again. There's wolves out there. There's danger out there. Be careful. Stay in the pen. Stay with your other 99 buddies." But he celebrates with all of his other friends. So this shepherd was looking for sheep. It says, and don't you think that God celebrates even more when one sinner repents? See, the mission of Cold Spring Presbyterian Church could be a million different things. And we have different tools for that. I have a little drawing there in the bulletin, but just think about three very simple lenses that you might use. If a church only uses a mirror, you only see yourself. But if a church uses lenses, it helps us see. And so the first kind of a lens you could think about would be a periscope. Now, a periscope's pretty cool. My dad was in the Navy. He told me about all sorts of boats he was on. He was never on a submarine, but he taught me about them. And they have a periscope. Now, why does a submarine have a periscope? To see? Because a periscope, what it does is it lets you see over the obstacle. Water's a huge obstacle, of course, if you're looking with your eyes and trying to see what's on the surface, right? So the periscope goes above the surface. So this church, I wonder what kind of periscope tools we might use to take a look at the community at large, all over. I wonder what we might use to see what's going on in our community, to pay attention to what God is doing all around us. A periscope would help with that. Now, a telescope is something a little different. A telescope doesn't just show you what's closer at hand, overcoming obstacles, and lets you see. But a telescope lets you look way outside. In fact, some of the conversations our session have had lately was about what's going on in the county and how we can connect with county services. And these are being evaluated. Sort of right now, we're just pulling back a little bit from some of these very, very good ministries just for a while until we can get that telescope out there and sort of pay attention to all the different things that we can be connected with so that when we do choose to be connected, we connect with the right things, the ones we can add the most value to. And besides a periscope looking over obstacles and a telescope which gives us a longer range view, there's also a telescope, or rather a microscope. Now, a microscope is what we could use just to pay attention to ourselves, to listen to one another, to pray for one another, to care about one another, to make that prayer list really effective. And I don't mean in the bulletin. I mean your prayer list. What's your prayer list look like? You got some names on there you think about? How are you connecting with other people? How are you engaging in that? This is telescope work. It's paying attention to what God is doing inside you, because when you were lost, God found you. And now you have the opportunity of sort of being in that pen of the 99 to pay attention to other things in your life that God brings your way so that you can have an impact too. Not like the religious leaders who scorned Jesus and said, "Oh my gosh, he spends time with sinners and all those ordinary people. Oh my goodness." No, we embrace that because it says that God sent Jesus into the world to save sinners, to rescue people from all the pain and the hardship that they're in, to be a voice of hope and encouragement. I wonder what kind of things in the coming months Cold Spring Presbyterian Church can do to clean its periscope, to use its telescope more effectively, and pay attention a little more to a microscope as we pay attention to what's going on inside our community. I wonder what kinds of things we can do that will help us become that for something, not for profit, but for what? God has brought you here today. Did you feel lost before finding this place? Did you get lost getting here? I'm glad you're here today, and for whatever reason has brought you, I believe God wants our view to be broader, clearer, to have better vision, so that we can invest our gifts and our talents to bless the lives of others. For whatever reason God has brought us here, whether it's a nation on a special day of memorial, of seeking hope and restoration and reconciliation in the world, or a nation who looks for hopeful leadership, effective, authentic leadership, or whether we're looking for a lost teenager, or maybe it's just a church, a congregation of faithful people wanting to make a difference in their community. Let us all together agree that God has called us to scope our work, a telescope, periscope, and microscope, so that we can have a better view of congregational health and effectiveness. Let us pray.